This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Space and places are not made for them in most masjids anyway. Go to the places and see the potato chip bags and gum and candy and baby diapers and stuff all in the back. This is the masjid. Go to the toilets inside the masjid. The places where the Muslims make wudu, the places of their tahara. If you think that people in the West who are accustomed to organization, sterilization, if you think that people in the West are going to come to the masjid and think that this is a beautiful place that represents a beautiful religion, you are wrong. They will not say to you because they don't want to embarrass you. But they do say to me because I'm a new Muslim and they feel they can talk. And they ask me all the time, what is going on with these people? A priest took his shahada here in London. And he came to a masjid. And after he went to that masjid, he told me, he said, listen, I do believe in Islam, but I don't think these are the right people. Because the masjid is supposed to be cleaner than a church, and it's not. We're giving the wrong message, Muslims. Narrow-mindedness of other cultures. We're narrow-minded. We don't take the time. We're living in Europe, but we haven't taken the time to understand European culture. We follow it, that part of it that pleases us based on our self-interest, but we don't take the time to understand their culture or to speak their language correctly, so that understanding their culture and speaking their language, we would be able to transfer Islam to them easily. That's because we're hung up on ourselves. We're hung up on ourselves. And it's not Islam we're hung up on. It's Muslim. And there's a difference between Islam and Muslim. And that's why Muslims themselves are being treated the way they're being treated. It's not Islam being treated that way. The attacks is not made on Islam. It's made on Muslims. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala permits it. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helps those that help his religion, not those who call themselves Muslims. We adopt the values and the traditions of the kafirs. We wear their clothes. We eat their foods. We follow their designs. We watch their movies. We do everything, and we are conditioned, even in this university. You're not conditioned to get a degree and to serve Islam when you leave here. You're conditioned to earn as much money as you can and to get as much pleasure out of it as you can and not to serve Islam. It is only your commitment to this deen and the level of your iman that is going to change that conditioning. And you need to understand that before you leave this university. Don't fool yourself that you're going to become an electrical engineer and you're going to do something for Islam. If you didn't make a decision to do something for Islam before you left this university, you're not going to do anything. You're not going to throw an egg. You're not going to throw a pie in a pie fight. You're fooling yourselves. You have to be committed right now. You have to be accountable and disciplined right now. You have to be displaying the behavior, the characteristics, and the attitude of a Muslim right now. Because if you don't do it in these 4 years, you're not going to do it in the next 4 years. Not when that money starts coming in. Don't fool yourselves. That enemy has already conquered you. Dear Muslims, these are just a few of the faces and features of the enemy within, which, if we are honest and objective, represent an equal or greater danger to Islam and the Muslims. By discussing these characteristics, I am not blaming or criticizing. Rather, I am identifying illness in the Muslim body of which I am a part of. And I am doing exactly what a physician or a psychiatrist should do when he or she examines his patient. That is, make an assessment, a diagnosis, and then after that suggest a treatment plan. Each one of us needs to be open-minded, honest, and self-critical. In order to suppress and arrest this enemy within us, we need to take action against this enemy before we can effectively rally ourselves against any external enemy. Dear brothers and sisters, the Muslims who live in the West have to appreciate the special favors and privileges of which they have been given. What are they? We've been given social, political, economic, and religious freedom. Social, political, economic, and religious freedom that is unparalleled. Your grandmothers and your grandfathers, your mothers and your fathers, or wherever you immigrated from, did not afford you these same social, political, economic, and religious freedoms. And you have to be honest about that. That's why you decide to stay here and not go back. Secondly, you have been given, you and I, personal, cultural, educational, and recreational liberties and privileges that you could not get anywhere else. That makes us more responsible than other Muslims, because those who are given much are expected to do more. Dear Muslims, we have a special set of circumstances and responsibilities as Muslims living in the West. There are many challenges facing us. The major one is immorality, corruption, distorting the Islamic message, materialism, opposition, prejudice, and social absorption. We have a responsibility to personify and offer good and attractive behavior in order to teach and preach Islam as it is. We have to compete for influence and power. That means compete with whatever Allah gave you for influence and power. We have the right to do that and a responsibility to do that. To distinguish ourselves, and we honor, and in order to give honor to the Deen of Allah, we have a responsibility to develop the spirit and the resources of igniting the flame of Dawah, to be organized and to give a dynamic approach to the message of Islam. Now, brothers and sisters, I understand that Maghrib is 5 minutes away. But initially, I was asked to speak from 4:30. So if there was some timing adjustments made, that wasn't my fault. I was also told that I should speak about 45 minutes and then after that 15 minutes for a lecture. I have spoken 40 minutes. So if I spoke another 5 minutes, that would be the time of the lecture. 15 minutes, questions and answers is only appropriate. 5 minutes, I don't know what you can ask, but I've delivered my lecture in 40 minutes as opposed to 45. And that's the best that I could do because I wrote my lecture. I try not to speak from the top of my head. I try to use some kind of order so that I do it within the time frame that I've been given. So I would ask the organizers of the lecture that if they really want some appropriate questions and answers to be given, that they should extend the question and answer period either 10 minutes, let the people who need to make wudu go make wudu, and let the questions be asked, or we should have a question and answer period after the salah. Now, I don't know whether you have the time to do that, whether it's appropriate to do that, but I think that I have probably set forward some issues that need to be questioned or explained, and I would like to do so. But I don't know how it's going to be fair to do that in 5 minutes. So what do you suggest, Brother Tariq? I think that I was also told that there would be a separate question and answer period for sisters later on. Did you mention that, brother?
Due to shortage of time, what we've asked is that we have a general question and answer session for everybody. We request that any sisters who do not want to ask questions aloud, that they please use the question sheets that have been provided and write down their question and pass it to the sister students at the front. They will then pass it to the front desk.
Right. Jazakallah khair.
Inshallah, we will answer their question.
Alhamdulillah. I seem to see that there was like a lounge with some red chairs off of the lobby out here, isn't it? well, after the Salah, is it possible maybe that I can sit in that lounge and people who may want to ask questions that we can't ask in these 10 minutes, that we could come, they could come to that lounge? Inshallah. Okay, I think I would suggest that since it's 10 minutes involved and we might not be able to write things down and pass them forward, if there are some questions, just show your hand. I'll recognize you. I didn't speak about Osama bin Laden. I didn't speak about the World Trade Center. I didn't speak about September 11th. I didn't speak about the Taliban. So if you got questions like that, I will not answer them. Although, in another setting, I have my own subjective position about that. But if you want to ask a question about what I spoke about, I'll be more than glad to do that. But I will not entertain answers. Meaning that if you have an answer to what I said, I don't think that's fair. You have to get your own podium and print your own flyers. Okay? So I'll take it first from the sisters. If there's some sisters, you can want to write them down and send them forward. Send them forward and I'll take your lecture. Meanwhile, there's a brother right there in the back there. Yes. The brother's question was, how do we get recognized by the government? How do we bring some kind of attention to them about actions which they are doing that we feel strongly about and so forth and so on? What do we do about that? Well, I say to you, brothers, that it's a painful procedure. But if you study the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this is our paradigm. The brother used that word, paradigm. Study the seerah. And you'll find out that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam always told his companions to be patient. Be patient. Don't be sporadic. Don't follow your hawa. Most of the time, when impatience takes place, takes precedent, you're going to have chaos and you're going to have more problems. So I say, let's study the seerah. Number one, if we're not organized under leadership individually, what is it that we can do? What are we going to do if we're not organized under leadership? So first of all, I would tell the brothers, especially the younger men, be patient, discipline yourselves, and commit yourselves to Islamic study. And under the discipline of Islamic study of a scholar or a student of a scholar, study the Quranic procedure, study the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and follow the advice of those who know better than you know. If you show me a group of young men who want to do something, I'll show you a fool, a group of fools.